If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Holy smokes, folks. We are back. Welcome to Unscreen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin. We are on the airwaves here after several weeks off. Some much needed rest after our Texas two-step and other fun old guy things. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning back in. Welcome back to the show. We got our friends here, James Harris in the chat, Bucyrus87-Coom, Carlisle Commons, Veronica Forker, Christian, Will Plough, many, many more of you. Thanks for tuning in. And we're back. And not only me, I am indeed back, but I got some buds back as well here to help me say goodnight to my New York Rangers fellow disgruntled New York sports fan, Steven Sadak.
Yeah, I was actually talking to my wife about this the other day, is that now it's this long slog until a bad Giants season. You know what I mean? It's not. There's not much to look forward to. I mean, yes, the next Knicks season, sure. The next Rangers, right around the corner after the bad Giants right. starts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's kind of it.
See, I have the nice cushion of being a Yankees fan, and they're doing pretty well.
There you go.
But you're kind of in this sports desert until, yes, we're watching presumably really bad football games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shitty teams. All right. I am loving the mustache on this next fella here. And I go back and forth because when he's got a beard, Steve, I'm like, oh my God, the beard on this guy. But when he shaves that beard off, I'm like, oh my God, the mustache on this guy. Please welcome back to the show, Mr. Eric Siska.
Hello, the mustache is back. I am back. And I think I'm on is this a wrong show? I thought I was supposed to be on a movie show.
Oh.
You booked me on a movie show.
Sports guys with Steve and Andrew. You don't know shit about shit. We barely watch it. Yay.
I'm eating jerky right now.
Well, I'm going to watch this show.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be funny. A lot of toilet flush sound effects and whatnot, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, we could do that.
Stinky.
We could absolutely. We would fail in the part where we're contractually obligated to talk about gambling for 30% of the broadcast.
Yes, at least.
Those guys on ESPN, they just do podcasts. It's just this.
It's just this. And they used to make fun of us for doing just this. And my, how the fucking tables have turned. Anyway, we're back. The bitch is back. And the bit is back. Here's Chris Cabin.
No, I mean, I understand it, Margaret. It does. The cook on V Rose does sound good. I heard that these things kill you. Isn't that? Didn't the guy die on the show, on the program? Didn't he die because of this?
I was supposed to be on a movie show.
What's the guy on the TV? Milo Ventimiglia. Didn't he die on the show because of this thing? I don't want.
Oh, an instant pot disaster?
Milo Ventimiglia. You talking about Rick Rape?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, cinema's Rick Rape.
No, yeah, he was also known as Rick Rape. Yes, Margaret. Yes, he was.
2009's Gamer.
He's also Chris, we have a show to start, for fuck's sake.
Jesus
Christ.
Well, look, I have to use the time, you know, smartly. I can't just be, you know, joshing around waiting for you guys. You guys are talking sports. Like Eric, I also thought I was on a movie show.
Can you believe it?
I have to listen to about the fucking Rangers.
At least you were talking about a television disaster, right?
Exactly. Very popular one, as I understand it, too.
A lot of people love that show. I didn't see a second of it. I can't tell you.
It is horrible.
What the hell was it called? All of Us?
This is Us.
Oh, you know,
actually, this came up yesterday, speaking of This Is Us.
Yeah.
What was the movie that we all did written and directed by the guy from This Is Us?
Life Itself.
Okay, good. Because me and Jen were walking around, and it was like, she was like, oh, anytime I'm near like a bus lane, I think about that movie. And they were both like, what was it called? And it was like, Life Itself is such a non-title. It's just like, it was like, Life is Around.
It's it's the name of a much better movie, the Roger Ebert doc.
Yeah, it's true.
That's right, the Steve James movie.
Which came like only a few years earlier than that, right?
Yeah.
That movie, really funny Oscar Isaac suicide scene in that movie.
Oh, sure.
Not to you know, poke fun at suicide, but like, it's just so ill-placed. Like, that movie is a fucking disaster, and everyone involved with it should have been embarrassed, but that's like an embarrassing turn of events.
He really sticks it to Annette Bening, which is a little unfair, I think.
Very weird.
Yes, I believe you're right.
This is for Nyad! And he goes...
That was you coming out of the Paris theater screaming about that movie.
I did not. No, that was at home. Nyad was at home.
Some important Born on This Days to get to here really quick. Remembering the Dead. First up, remembering him on his 123rd birthday, Maurice Evans.
Oh, there he goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, of course.
Here, I think that on the left is when he played the Penguin briefly.
And on the right is just him when he's not playing the Penguin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just him on set there.
His hair growing out.
Can I go back to Zayas for a second?
Yeah, sure.
That is like, it's like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Zayas, right? Like,
yes, definitely. Yep.
You're just bluesing around.
The leather jacket, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Old man, take a look at my ape. You're a lot like me.
Oh, yeah. He could play a harp.
Mm-hmm. Also remembering him on what would have only been his 74th birthday, cult movie fave of ours, Robert Zidar.
Oh, there it is.
This is the most high-res photo I could find. I think it's his IMDb picture, and it's like, this isn't a movie set. This is a family cookout where it was like, do the gun thing.
Uh-huh. Well, if it was higher res, it would crack my screen, so I'm glad it's not.
Also, still with us and celebrating birthdays today, James Purefoy turns 60. Seen him most recently on The Wine Show. Dig on that program quite a bit.
R.I.P. to him.
Rome's James Purefoy.
Rome, yes, of course. More notable for Rome, of course. Rich newscaster heartthrob Anderson Cooper is 57. And actress, most recently seen in the new season of that Josh Brolin program there, that I always forget the name of, even though I've literally watched the first season.
The big old hole.
Outer Ranges. Oh, yes. Outer Ranges. Imogen Poots turns 35. She's good on that show.
Gone, but not forgotten. All of these.
No, people. Only the first two are dead. Just the first.
Oh, they were all dead.
No.
No, a secret third one is too. You got to guess which one.
I was almost late for this live show because I was about to be. I was doing some Imogen Putin in the bathroom.
And then
I
is that what's going on?
Yeah, they should have thought about that when they named her, huh?
Oh, that's that would be great. It sucks that we don't have any Cafe Hollywood, like any kind of Planet Hollywood type situation anymore, because that would be perfect for Imogen. If you want poutine. Imogen
Poutine. Oh, Imogen Poutine.
There you go.
Very easy.
Sounds great.
But they're all gone, of course. They all went.
Imogen Poutine for the table, please. Thank you.
Yes.
A London Josh Brolin. You know, you kind of London broil. Josh.
Yeah.
Brolin.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, some poutine and some London broil. That's like a very salty and unhealthy but delicious fucking dinner.
I would order an Albert heart attack with that one.
There you go. So, boy, we are in some fucking dire straits at the box office, fellas. Let's take a look at what was not going around the box office this week. This is Highest Gross. So, you know, it's been several weeks since we've had a highest gross segment. A lot of changes, a lot of releases, a lot of ins, outs, what have yous, and so on. But In fifth place, I should say, in fifth mm-hmm. place, the only movie I think that was out the last time we were on the air, The Fall Guy.
Of course.
Still mm-hmm. rock and rolling in week five here with $14.2 million.
Yes, that's not a lot of money. It would be a lot more if they didn't put it on VOD already. They released this digitally 2 weeks after the theatrical.
And Bill Jabiri has been riding this horse. The actual like losses per week of this movie have actually been not nearly as much as the other ones. Like this one, the step downs have been pretty minor with Ever. So like it would make even more sense to hold out and see what it can do if you let it go for a while. But like, of course, they're like, no, give me my money. I want my money now. Give me my money now.
Cash out immediately, sabotage my own product and ruin the landscape for the future.
Short term over long term every time.
Absolutely.
Exactamundo, fellas. And I mentioned this in my box office poll write-up last Friday. The other thing about the month that we just finished, May was like what I called irresponsibly crowded. Like you had all of these film companies looking at the release slate and it was like, let's all jam it in there. Mm-hmm. And you've got stuff coming out that can't get screen time because like shit is still on. Yeah. And then you're doing stuff like this with The Fall Guy. I mean, Chris, you're totally right. Let it simmer for a little longer. You would have had something here. And I mean, it's looking like, what are we at here? It's $157 million global right now, 80 of that domestic. It's the problem is it's $135 million to make that movie. And I don't know where the hell the money went there.
Yeah. You're totally right. Everybody wanted to win May, but June was for the taking. Like there was nothing this weekend. I mean, nothing big this weekend. And the next weekend is M. Night Shyamalan's Dirters movie. Like that's it. That's all we have.
Oh, we got another thing next weekend though, my friend.
What's that?
I'll get to it in the end because I have a little like what could still save the box office list of movies.
Ooh, okay.
So I'll throw those.
Who's Dirters directing that one? Is anybody good?
She worked hard.
My Dirters.
Hey man, we get all excited. My Dirters
got a movie.
Listen, we get all excited for Brandon Cronenberg movies.
Oh no, sure.
He worked hard.
I'm seeing this in theaters, FYI. I don't give a shit happens this weekend. That movie looks stupid as fuck, and it's got the Shyamalan fucking gel on it. I'm like, I'm ready to go.
I will see a well-crafted stupid movie. Why not? Mm-hmm. Speaking of well-crafted stupid movies, in fourth, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This is a big heavy hitter. This is the most successful movie of the summer so far. This is in week four, 8.8 million. We're looking at 337 million globally. I think the last one got up to like 400 something, so it's got a ways to go. 25 million of this is IMAX though, like it's a hit. It will be there will be another Apes movie on the way for sure. Biggest movie of the summer.
Audiences go bananas for these Apes.
I mean, I think we'll talk about the first two and why those are where they are. But like this is also a movie I think you can bring your kids to for the most part. Like there's some bad parts to it. There's some violence to it for sure. But most people, you could bring a young kid and they would get it generally. They might cry a little bit. One part might have to close your eyes a little bit. Poor William H. Macy, oh no.
Is very funny, though. You don't want to miss the funniest moment of the summer.
Yes, of course. But like, I can see why this is holding on because you can. Most of the audiences will come to this. There's no branch. There's no like, no more past this point for them.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, not for nothing, it's an actual blockbuster franchise as opposed to the film in third place that's associated with a franchise that we love, but it's not a box office juggernaut. In third place in its second week, Furiosa, this is a massive stain on Warner Brothers this year. Yeah. Paltry, $10.7 million, and we're looking at a total of only $50 million domestic, $115 million globally. This is a 59% fall from week one, you guys. This is a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the prequels, you know, people don't want, in general, I don't think people really want prequels. Mm. And then you're doing it almost 9 years after the hit movie. 9 years.
But,
and then you lose Mad Max from the title. I didn't see it advertised that way, but whatever.
No, neither did I.
Didn't Fury Road lose to, like, I don't even know what, like, fucking something
really stupid. I forget what it was.
Very innocuous in its first week. And because these movies aren't, like you said, this isn't a blockbuster franchise. It's a big name franchise. It's a big head franchise for people like us that love this shit, live this shit, and all those people saw it, but not the Gen Pop isn't going to see this movie. And
right.
Gen Pop don't love Anya Taylor-Joy. You know what I mean?
Almond like, Taylor-Joy. Yeah, maybe not the big name we needed. Like, do people go to her movies for her?
No.
Do people see the menu like, no. for her?
She's no. the girl from the menu for most people, which is right, sickening yeah. to me.
Right. Or if you watch that Queen's Gambit show. Yes. But no, Eric, you mentioned this like off the air. You know, we were just talking about Mad Max or whatever. And I think you're completely right, because you could tell in the lead up to the movie. Remember that second trailer? All of a sudden, it was Chris Hemsworth by the barrel full. And they were like, mm-hmm. Thor's in this movie! Right. Please, Thor's right. in this! You know what I mean? But like
that's the thing. Right? Yeah. Like Tarantino's point of like, Thor is the movie star, not Chris Hemsworth. And right. that might be true.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly.
I think that's true of all of the Marvel movies, is that absolutely, it was Captain America was the star, Thor was the star, and they just helped to bring them to life. I think this is, I mean, A, it is like, these movies never made a bunch of money. We were still in a time at Fury Road when that came out that you could wait a little bit and a movie could grow and really start doing numbers at the box office without a number one the first week. But right. I don't think we're there anymore. And that, I don't put that on Anya Taylor-Joy. I don't put that on anybody except for the marketing. Marketing was shit on this movie, I thought. I just don't think they marketed the right way. They didn't put it in the right place. It's fine that happens, but like Anya Taylor-Joy's been in plenty of movies that have made money, and like so is Chris Hemsworth. I don't think it's that. I think it's a matter of just like, you have to put it where it is, and you have to let it boil. You have to let it simmer for a little bit. You can't expect the big explosion anymore because Marvel's gone. This was all okay until Marvel started shitting the bed. Yeah. Once that happens, we're going to talk more about how like the summer has kind of like everybody's rushed to May. It used to be because, you know, Disney came in, they big dicked everybody, and they're like, we put these movies here, here, and here. You get the scraps. That's how it goes. That was fine if Marvel stayed and Disney stayed at that level. However, if they shit the bed, it's chaos. Everybody goes wherever. They're going to pick up whatever date they want to. It's not going to go back to the normal days anymore. It's just going to go to this rush. Get it out. Come on, let's go.
I really feel like Wolverine and Deadpool is going to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all the Marvel stands are going to be like, well, look who's back. And it's okay.
Right.
I just kind of feel like everyone's going to learn the wrong lessons from that movie making a shit ton of money.
It's my guess.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's bullshit. I mean, like, you can't make the argument that Marvel's back. This was from the before times. Deadpool is from a time before Endgame ended everything.
Yeah.
It still gives you that nostalgic kick. My guys are still here. The guys I like. Yeah. You're coming back from it. It's not to say that this would suggest that Marvel's back on track is horseshit.
No, it's a legacy sequel, basically. You got Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine for the 24th year. And then people are wondering, why do you feel like there's something running out of the tank? Maybe because I've seen this guy do this character for 24 years, but it will still make a lot of money.
I mean, it's the biggest screen superhero character of all time. Like, say what you want about Superman's and your Batman's.
Yeah.
It's one dude that's done this for over 2 decades. And frankly, regardless of the quality of the movie, the performance of him in those things is always top notch. And so you have this weird instance of not only is it nostalgia for Deadpool, it's nostalgia for that motherfucker combined in one thing. It's going to be a powder keg at the box office. But you're right, learning all the wrong lessons from it.
And he's going to curse. He gets to curse now, finally. Finally, what? Hugh Jackman says, fuck.
Oh, okay. Wow. I thought it was a like a witch's curse.
I don't know, maybe, but that
no, we've heard him use a profanity in one of those prequel movies where
he uses fuck off. Yeah, and also Logan as well.
Logan,
Rose is correct. Logan, stay tuned for Logan, FYI.
Oh, absolutely. Steve winking. There it is.
I have to use my whole face to wink. Like, I don't know if anyone else on the show could actually wink. I need to that's kind of it. Yeah, the whole face has to.
You have to pinch your thigh. Yeah. For some
reason. I have to lift my leg.
It looks like I'm having a stroke when I try to wink.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so sexy.
Yeah, no.
Number two at the box office movie. Speaking of Ryan Reynolds, that I've got no interest in.
Now, Chris, I understand you rushed out to see this.
Oh yeah, I rushed out to see it in its third week. it's essentially for people who are scared of Monsters Inc.
Well,
if you want to know what the
scary,
oh man,
it's that they add a cancer storyline that really shouldn't have been there.
Dead mother situation.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. Okay. Many dead people.
Oh,
many,
does,
many
my baby, does my baby not, girl not have cancer? Baby.
Who is your baby girl? I don't know.
Your baby girl. This is kid in the movie. I don't know.
This was another movie that people were like, "Oh my god, if this movie's going to fail, what is to become of us?" And it's like, it's a sweet. It's not a kids movie. Kids want minions. Kids want fucking big asses farting. Yeah. And like, or a little thing that goes. They like that shit. That's not what this movie was. It was sweet. It was obviously going to be very, very sweet, and nobody wants. That's not driving kids to the theaters.
There's three things going on in this movie that I think are interesting. I'll make them very short. It's an original idea. Not really. It is just kind of Monsters Inc. with a few things switched around here and there.
Imaginary friends.
They're all in like a house together, and like somebody has to manage the. I'm not going to get into it.
Do things start getting real, by the way?
Oh, they do a little bit.
Do they get a job at the surf shop selling t-shirts?
They do not.
This was ripped off from that Nickelodeon show. Or Cartoon Network, Foster's Home for Imaginary Monsters.
Oh, so it's ripping off something else, too. That's
cool. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Like, almost word for word.
If the brand is not like, everybody's like, this is an original film. Like, no. You're just misunderstanding how brands have like mutated over the last couple of years. This is a Ryan Reynolds movie. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ryan and like John Krasinski just happens to be there and directing the thing. So it is just a Ryan Reynolds doing his thing, like yelling at cute things, like kind of talking to himself, being super self-aware.
Sure.
It's just that stuff. But like bigger than that, this was a marketing idea. Take the idea of animated films where you stuff as many fucking names on the poster as possible. And try to do it with live action people instead. And what they did is all the little creatures are huge names. If you look at the fucking names they got, it is fucking the cast list on this thing is insane.
It's like a reverse Muppets.
And it is, but like Muppets, you would even, again, light is hitting the fucking Muppet. That's a thing that's made. This is still just the fucking furry, what's his name? Sully from fucking Monsters, Inc.
They should have got the Creature Workshop on board. Can you imagine a bunch of like, you know, Henson Company, Gleep Glop, imaginary friend looking thing?
That'd be fun.
I might have enjoyed it. I might have been able to enjoy it, but it's horrible. Nobody should see it.
I just got Creature Workshop on the brain because I watched that Ron Howard, Jim Henson thing over the weekend. It's fine. There's no new information there. It's a good, glossy, you know, well-produced story of Jim Henson's life. As you would imagine, the last 10 minutes are fucking gutting. Do not worry about that. But yeah, you know, what was that? 10.8 million. It has another weekend of no kid competition before Inside Out 2 comes out, at which point I feel it'll be fucking decimated from existence. Speaking of things I hope are decimated from existence sooner than later, and at number one, Garfield the movie, Chris Cabin's favorite animated film of the year.
Yes.
14 million. This is a case where this is now in first after being in second on its opening week. So take that for what you will. We're looking at 152 million global, only a 42% fall, so not a bad hold.
I see that poster again real quick?
Sure, you got it.
Is he farting here? Is that what's happening? This like it's rocking the chair.
It's a rocket chair, right?
I had too much lasagna, I guess. I'm Garfield now.
Hey, here it is. Hey, Odie. Hey, is that John?
That's how he's doing it?
Yeah.
He's just talking like Chris Pratt, dude.
It's Chris Pratt's voice.
What else is he gonna do?
Put in effort? That doesn't suit him.
Put in effort.
Oh, I need a moment.
Suit him at all. It's just him doing Chris Pratt or him doing Star-Lord, which is essentially the same thing at this point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
My God.
Horribly for Garfield. Again, one more weekend until there's some real deal kid competition there, so we'll see. Elsewhere at the box office, a movie we're going to review in a little bit, In a Violent Nature, opened on like 1,200 screens, $2.1 million, placed in eighth. Now, I have to say, I got a reference. I want to bring up the fucking killer poster, but there it is. Got to reference the Patreon poll here that I did over the weekend, which was, will any of these new movies chart the top 10, or should people just go see Furiosa? Most people voted to just go see Furiosa, but I will say, well done to the people who voted for In a Violent Nature, topped in at 8, and Summer Camp, which looked abysmal, was in 10th place.
What the fuck is Summer Camp?
Oh, dude.
What is that? Where your mom and dad send you when they're fucking sick of you.
80, the new 80 for Brady, essentially.
Really? Yeah, is that from the director of Sack Lunch? Is that
possibly? It's from a director of hasn't done anything anyone's given a shit about. And it is Alfre Woodard, Kathy Bates, and Diane Keaton are childhood friends that used to go to summer camp together. And wouldn't you know it, now they're old and they're going to go to summer camp again for reasons.
Because you could carve your own coffin there. You help them cut down the tree.
Look, it's only fair. We had to sit through Last Vegas and all those shitty fucking movies. Yeah.
Sure.
So
sure.
Now that you know what, we're going to have a few more of them. We're going to have, you got to even it out a little bit.
A little something for the ladies. You can get old too.
Is Gronk in this one as well? Is he getting jacked off in this one too?
I don't believe so. I have seen it, but I did not see any Gronk images.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing, I was wrong on the theater count for Young Woman in the Sea. That was only on 300 screens, so that had no way of reaching anybody. But that is Daisy Ridley playing the first woman who swam the English Channel.
Mm. Man. They are never going to fucking forgive her for doing The Force Awakens, are they?
Well, no. She is cursed forever.
Look at doing those movies.
Mark Hamill's career after Star Wars. For a long time, it was nothing. He got a saving grace in cartoon voicing.
Yeah. What was that suicide movie she did last year? Is that any good?
About dying.
Yeah. Was that any good or not so much?
But she's good. Like, the thing is, she's good. I'm sure she's good in even this movie, but it's like, who cares about these movies? Like, they're all indie movies that don't have like a signature look at all. It's just like a normal dramedy.
This is like indie Disney though. Disney's definitely involved in the fish, in the swimming movie.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's a straight up. It's a 100%. It's a Disney movie, and I'm sure you will see it on Disney Plus really soon. It's one of those like, what are you doing? Decisions like shit or get off the pot. Like I saw a listing for this like 2 weeks ago that was like, special advanced screening of Young Woman in the Sea. Okay, you're doing that, but then only releasing to 300 screens. Like, what? Trailers, nothing anywhere. What the fuck are you doing? Why are you bothering? Listen, I am all for theatrical exhibition, obviously. Pro, get this shit in theaters. But if you're gonna do it, do it. Put it out in theaters. Yeah. Tell people the movie exists. I don't know why this is so hard. You fucking spent all these months and years making a movie. Tell people it's coming out. You want people to see it. You know, like, God damn, sometimes with these fuckers.
Well, that's, you know what? That's what the team behind Kung Fu Panda 4 understood better than anybody. I am sorry to say this, Eric. They are under the 15 mark now.
What? It's no, over. They're in the top 10 still.
No, they're not. They're not.
No,
stop clinging to a dream. I understand it. Long I understand. Gone. But stop clinging to the dream.
I got some alternate facts here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Excellent.
You do.
I did my own research.
I did. I did
Facebook.
My own
book.
Yeah. And it turns out that the vax is killing people. No, I'm joking. And Kung Fu Panda 4 is still in the top 10.
Oh, well, yes.
All right. So here are some of these yet to come movies that may, help, may have a chance of scoring some box office here. What do you think about this, guys? So 6-7. So just this coming Friday, Bad Boys 4 and The Watchers. Those are the two movies. All right.
Bad Boys will do well.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
6-14, Inside Out 2. Really decent chance of slaying.
Blowout.
Interesting to see if you can get the demographic out to the theater. 6-28, Horizon, An American Saga Part 1. Do not discount Westerns and dramas and Costner.
Number one at the box office.
The marketing is what I'm worried about with that one, because all of his other ones that have been hits have been marketed really well. Clearly, I do not watch or listen to the media that would probably be showing advertisements for Horizon. Really.
Don't trust the media, Chris.
It's true. It's true on this point. But for what I've barely seen anything about this other than the coverage out of Cannes.
You know, who knows? It's June 3rd. They have 25 days. I don't know.
We'll see.
I'm excited to check it out. I'm excited.
But to your point, though, Chris, 628 also releasing something that you have not been able to escape as hard as you try. Quiet Place Day One. Oh, so you have, you know, popular franchise, it's horror. You know, I don't care about these movies, but a lot of people do.
It'll be very interesting to see how it does, especially after The Strangers Chapter 11 happened.
That one.
Dude, that's a Mad Magazine cover you just wrote right there. That's exactly what that shit is.
Horrid. I mean, the thing with Quiet Place, I can see that one doing well. I'm going to see it because I liked Pig and I want to support the guy who made it.
I forgot it's the guy who did Pig.
Of course it is. Of course, of course.
Yeah, of course it is.
Your franchise. Welcome to the carousel. What do we got for you?
At least it's like, you know, horror and not like a huge $200 million thing.
I got The Strangers in here. I got A Quiet Place. Hot to Trot.
Well, that's.
You want to do Hot to Trot?
Yes. You can take it. That's free. No one's going to buy that. You can remake that.
The horse is going to be completely CGI this time, but you are going to have to jack it off. That's definitely.
They kind of did. They did this already. Now I'm thinking about this. There was a Hot to Trot, and I think it was a computerish horse. What was that movie? Mm-hmm. Oh fuck! Now it totally slipped my mind. It's Racing Stripes. I think it was called. Oh, it's like a zebra gets in the horse racing or something
with Freddie Muniz.
Yes, yeah,
Frankie Muniz.
Anyway, so we'll keep going through these real quick. 7-3, that's going to be a big one. Despicable Me 4, there's no way around it. Holiday weekend, going to be massive. 7-19, Twisters. Lee Isaac Chung's Twisters.
We'll see.
I'll be there, but
I really don't know. Another big one, 7-26, Deadpool and Wolverine. We got two on August 9th. Trap, speaking of Shyamalan family motion pictures. I think that looks great. It's Hartnett. It's Shyamalan. You know, there's a shot names alone.
Wasn't his kids the ones responsible for like the scrunts and stuff in?
So you wrote.
What was that movie with Paul Giamatti?
Lady in the Water. Yeah,
they were very young when those notes were given. Though
they've been taking L's for a long time.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But I think, you know, they grow. They grow as artists. You know, Eric.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
So 8-9 is that, and also Borderlands, massively popular video game franchise.
I forgot about that.
I'm sorry, you said it wrong. Guardians of the Galaxy 4 is the name of that movie. It's being put out by a different studio, but it is Guardians of the Galaxy 4.
That's weird.
It does appear to have that style.
There were trailers for it, and then I haven't seen a trailer for it in months. And I know it's coming out, but where did the trailers go?
If it really bombs, maybe we get Thanksgiving 2 a little quicker.
Ooh. Yeah, seriously. Spend your time with something I want to watch. But I don't know. I'm unfamiliar with these games. I know a lot of people like them. Yeah. Who the hell knows? And then also 8-16 Alien Romulus. Again, it's a franchise. I don't remember how well the last Alien movie did.
That's a Mad Max situation, I get the feeling. At least at this point. I don't know if that was always the case. But at this point, I feel like you're going to see a nice first weekend, but like after that, it's going to be on the movie completely, whether it has legs or not. Yeah. Like I think Prometheus did pretty well for a couple weeks, but then Covenant did not.
Yeah.
Prometheus did well because everyone was excited, and then so many people hated it. The fucking word of mouth kind of tanked it.
Thought it was good.
But it is a great movie. I've been saying
both movies.
I like Covenant too. Yeah.
I rewatched them this year. They both hold up. They're great. They're fun.
I'm jealous of that. I got to do it. Oh, and then also 8-16 is also the fucking part two of the Costner thing. 8-23, I just put it on there because I don't know, but the Crow reboot remake thing, Bill Sarsgaard in the horrorish realm.
You never know. There might be enough horror people to elevate this.
No way. That thing is fucking crashing. That
girlies like him. Girlies do like that.
Bill Sarsgaard. I get that, but guess you know what? There was a movie that just came out with him in it that did nothing.
What was that?
Nobody
called?
Knew it existed.
The kill, kill the
boy kills world.
Oh, yeah, that, right. That, yeah, 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 boy kills world. Right.
Yeah,
well, but like this thing has just been cursed for so. Like, there have been like four attempts to make this movie now, and they kicked it. I might have been.
Well,
like,
you're saying that the Crow franchise is cursed. Why would it?
I wonder why.
It's almost as if it fucking started out as a cursed franchise, not for nothing. I don't know. I don't have any info on why the date shifted. It might not have anything to do with the quality of the movie at all, because it was a difference of a couple months. So that's not
sure.
You know, that's not like reshoots level time. So, you know, okay. I don't know. But coming out of the summer, there's a bunch of stuff on the way, you know. So, like, maybe it's just a thing where, like, the movie year is just the movie year now. And it's not so much, you know, focusing on seasons like summer, you know.
Well, the thing is,
habits are changing, et cetera.
Memorial Day has been treading down for years and years and years. It's Memorial Day is worse and worse and worse because people want to go outside. It's nice outside.
That's because movie attendance has been going down for fucking years. Like,
it's more so on that part. People don't like holidays and movies. I don't think mix anymore.
No. That's what made it possible. People,
is Christmas box office ripping up the charts? I don't remember, but maybe it is. But I just feel like holidays are down.
You know, it depends. I think something like Memorial Day is a little different than Christmas, and July 4th, it's like, you know, I don't know. Right. You're right. I think more people are going out and doing stuff, you know, especially because within the last few years, like, we can again. So I think that's still happening a little bit, but also, like, these movies are just for the most part unexciting. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to figure out what we're doing here. But anyway, my point to that was there are some interesting looking things coming out at the end of the year, one of which the coming attraction just dropped today. So we decided to swap in to take a look in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment.
I'm smelling a trailer here.
It is a trailer for a trailer here. Yeah.
3 minutes and 14 seconds. Is it the whole film?
It's a lot. Now, this was a last second swap out here, so I don't have graphics available. We are indeed talking about the newly dropped just this morning, Venom: The Last Dance, the third and I guess possibly final Venom film.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy and Sony.
Venom is doing really well. He's back. You know, he's coming off about to do a three-peat, but Scottie Pippen wasn't paid, you understand, so he doesn't know if he's going to play. Oh, no, I'm thinking of The Last Dance. Sorry.
Yep, Steve's mixing up basketball and Venom movies again. Happens all the time.
And I took that personally.
Well done, Chris. I don't know. I thought the first one was fine. I thought the second one was rotten.
Yeah.
I watched this before queuing it up. I think it looks kind of cool. We'll see. But show information below, folks. If you're watching along, you want to check out that trailer with us. The link is in the text below here. So here we go. Venom, The Last Dance. Now, this is coming to theaters in October. So kind of a primo time for something like this to drop. Spooky-ish movies in the spookiest month.
Yes,
always a pretty smart idea.
The Last Dance, unless it makes money.
Right. Yeah. Then it's at least the second to last dance.
Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Oh, you ready? Sure. Yep, exactly. All right, so here we go. Venom: The Last Dance from Sony Pictures Entertainment later this year, dropping October. All right, so here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Trailer for the trailer indeed, Chris Cabin.
You gotta love the goop, the commitment to the goop.
Lots of goop.
It's a goop effects movie. Always look cool, yeah. So this is where he was at, I'm guessing, at the end of that Spider-Man teaser. Yeah. He's still got that vacation shirt on.
Oh, God. Right. See, I hate when I have to remember endings of Stinger scenes, and I just hate thinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, maybe it might not matter, but, you know, you can connect.
I'm sure nothing matters.
Dude, Venom power or no, like, just do not fuck with a guy that looks like Tom Hardy. I'll just put that out there.
Well, I don't know. If I have machine guns, I probably would.
Yeah, machine guns and are dogs. For guys like that.
Yeah, dogs and machine guns, I definitely would go after them.
They always seem to make his face inside Venom's head look pretty good in these movies, which always reminds me of, like, how bad Mark Ruffalo looks in the Hulkbuster suit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it seems like it's kind of the same effect. Oh, yeah. Ooh, eat them heads. I've always liked this vocal performance. Yeah. I think it's very funny.
It's fun.
I mean, what you come back to these movies for is Hardy, and what he does with this character is genuinely pretty impressive to me.
So we've got two characters or two actors from Ted Lasso in this movie here.
There you go.
Juno Temple here, the blonde woman, and Christian Fernandez, I believe his name is, right at the bar, which I think he was in the Stinger.
Juatel's back.
Yeah. Not as...
it's a different universe, Chris, so you could do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
never mind. Chris, you'll have a fucking seizure, you know, dude. Don't even try. Fine. Whatever. Underwater Venom, I like that.
Sure, yeah.
Tom Hardy in a tuxedo, sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's his face? The little bulldog actor there. What's that guy?
From The Irishman, I forget his name. Stephen Graham.
Can we just blow up a helicopter for real? Can I see that? Because what was that?
This plane.
Big cartoon fireball.
There's an army coming that cannot... I was not into this. Ooh. I'll tell you at the part where I was like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
Everything. Because it's about to come up, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. Not a fan of this Bowie riff, by the way.
Here we go.
Yep.
This is a great idea.
Only one way to find out.
Venom horse?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Venom horse, right. I'm into. Venom horse.
Yeah. A Venom horse. Definitely.
Watch, this shot's cool. Look at this.
That's fun.
I'll take it.
It looked,
you know,
so much better than Venom. Let There Be Carnage.
It's
such a trailer. Yeah. Abysmal.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah.
Bad trailer. Thing about it, though, what was I going to ask? Oh, I didn't appear to see... So I guess it's the English guy there is going to be a villain of some kind.
Stephen Graham, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can, because we don't see him transforming into anything, but he looks like he's in a cell getting mad about something.
I think he's got one of them in him. Like, whenever the creatures are, is in him, and they're talking, much like ID4 with Brett Spiner.
The problem with Venom, I mean, for me anyway, like, they blew their load with what's his face? With
Woody Carnage. Harrelson?
No, just because all other Venom villains are just, like, different. It's like, I'm Smash. I'm, you know, a different symbiote. Like, what do you call it there? What's his face?
Riz Ahmed,
the first one. Like, I can't even tell you what his name was, but he was just another Venom. And, like, Carnage has a little bit of something to him, but they ruined it. So then now it's just whatever.
Carnage you will find on T-shirts in, boardwalks and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, Gloop, the villain from this movie, whatever. I mean, you know, that's it. If you were, like, Andrew Name... Venom villains,
you got
that's the one.
I think T-shirt the movie could be something. Like a cinematic universe based on T-shirts. People love,
and they're all t-shirt. The images are coming out of the T-shirt like a Care Bear kind of thing.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like Deadpool smoking weed versus Gangster Tweety.
Yeah, right.
They just go at it and that's interesting.
Oh, and then the day is saved by Rastafari and Bart Simpson. T-shirts. Yeah,
I just got an email. We just got a lunch with a major studio. Interesting. Ooh. Yeah, it's for T-shirt the movie. So that's cool. That's really
T-shirt.
Such a bad idea. They immediately jumped on
T-shirt the movie. Copyright. Steve, print this out as a tape and mail it to ourselves.
Okay,
we're covered.
Certified mail. Certified.
We're glad to be working with them again after they did greenlight our Riz the movie, because we were just like, hey, what's a word that kids like? And we just put it on a movie, and they're like, yes, we'll give you money. We'll give you $20 million.
You know what? A $20 million movie sounds all right to these comparable price tags. Like on the first movie that's, you know, it has been out for a couple weeks, but we did want to give our thoughts to it here. Our on-screen review of George Miller's Furiosa, which, yes, colon, a Mad Max saga, because they realized, oh, fuck, who's going to give a shit about this movie? We don't put Mad Max on it. And turns out, not as many people as they were hoping.
You know, I also think if Charlize Theron was in it, that would be some 100%. Little...
Hardy or her.
Stop going back. Go forward.
I gotta say, this is, I'm usually as anti-prequel as any human being.
It's great,
on this
though.
Planet.
It is good.
This is the good prequel. Like, this is the one. I don't know. Like, it's different than what Miller normally does. It's a really strong narrative as opposed to just sort of like, you know what I mean? Obviously, like, there's amazing action in it, but like, it's not a vessel for action as much as it is. Like, really, it's this story about these two people in the wasteland, which is Furiosa and Dementis. And it's really interesting to watch. I think that the action is incredible. I love Chris Hemsworth actually trying to act. Good on him, dude.
Best thing he's done. I know I haven't seen Black Hat. I know a lot of you guys like Black Hat, but this is the best thing I've seen him do an acting performance in.
Yeah, it's up in that. I agree with Steve 100%. I mean, I can't care too much at this point in movies, like making money, not making money. I can't care that much anymore. Like Furiosa, like it should have. You know what the thing is with this is? I think it's because the whole franchise isn't well known. People know Fury Road. I don't think they really are as well versed in the Mel Gibson movies. And maybe they have good reason for not. Maybe there's like Mel Gibson. I'll take a no on that one. But I think that's a key to it, is that this was Fury Road. And as Eric pointed out, it's 9 years in between them. And like, you can't expect an audience to go right back and be immediately pumped again, even though by all accounts, they absolutely should. This is as good a movie as he's ever made. It's a mixture of what he was doing in the earlier part of his career. The pacing of those early Mad Max movies is here, but the aesthetic and the real like engine of the visuals and the aesthetics and like how everything is moving in this concerted way, it's a master of these things he's learned so far, and it really shows a master. I mean, it's like he's a master. This is like only something a master could do.
It's very
good.
And
this is it's a couple things here for me. I really like the movie. I think one, as far as the prequel and the Fury Roadness and the 9 years of it all, what they should have done, and it's kind of funny because, you know, in my history of dealing with Warner Brothers and, you know, new releases, especially like sequels and shit that's part of existing IP, up until Dune, they were very, we want to make sure our audience has like blinders on and only thinks about this new movie. And they didn't want people thinking about, oh, do I have to see this other thing to understand this movie? So what they would do is they would take all of those movies out of rotation. So, for example, when a stupid fucking Fantastic Beasts movie would come out, every single Harry Potter property was unavailable for any kind of repertory booking because they just wanted you to focus on the one thing. They started breaking their own rule with Dune. When Dune 2 came out, they fucking re-released Dune and made a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why they couldn't have done this. Find a weekend in April or whatever, because I know May's crowded. Re-release Fury Road in theaters. Get people excited. Release, just like they did with Dune, a thing at the end of the screening of Fury Road, and now a 10-minute sequence from Furiosa.
Phantom Menace was like, what, number two at the box office recently? And Disney has been doing this for a while, where they'll do the lead up to the superhero movie. They'll watch them all in a row. You gotta start thinking about the specialty marketing here. Like this, as movies evolve and they become more just event things, just do little event stunts, and maybe it's not as sexy as opening one big movie that does humongous, but you got to build it up. You got to make that road.
You could have got people excited for this. Like, oh, right. Yeah. Fury Road. I remember that. Like, cause not everybody is us and has that on Blu-ray and shit. So, I just thought that would have been an interesting idea. And it's kind of surprising that they failed at that, because I 100% would have gone to re-see Fury Road in theaters. And the other thing I'll say about it is, as far as prequels go, what I appreciate about it is indeed its own film. It's unconcerned with backing its ass up into the start of Fury Road, it just allows itself to be its own thing. There's some drops and hints in there and whatever, which I thought was fine, but it's not like, you know, Rogue One or you know, something like that. So I think it does operate in its own world. And to the thing, too, it's not like, you know, the other thing about Fury Road, what I was worried that Furiosa was just going to be doing, too, is Fury Road is like just basically one kinetic chase scene. Like, that's the movie. Yeah. And that's why, one of the reasons why Fury Road is so amazing as a spectacle film. And this, thank God, it doesn't try to ape that. You know, we got chapters here. It actually, it felt a lot like watching like Kill Bill or something, like a Tarantino movie, that literary kind of like, here's a chapter. Yeah. And, you know, it's just this part of the movie. I really enjoyed the structure of
this. Yeah, when the structure began and they did that, like, this is the whatever part, whatever. Yeah. I was worried. But then I think it was great. And the pacing was well. I mean, I'd never felt the clock. You know?
Yes.
No.
No. I really thought Taylor Joy does a really great job in it, too.
She's
really fantastic. She doesn't have a ton of dialogue, which is great. You know what I mean? It's fitting with the series and everything. It's so much about her face and what she's like expressing. And I think, and her and Tom Burke have great chemistry, and Tom Burke's really great, great it too. Like, it's a great cast. It's a really great cast, especially like, I think, you know, I think that Hardy was great. And obviously Charlize Theron was great. I guess, in the wasteland, you get a huge growth spurt in your mid-20s. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's right.
It's part of the funky food.
All
the irradiated vegetables they're growing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other guy there from...
The Souvenir.
Souvenir. I liked him as Mad Matt.
Yes.
You know,
he was really good.
I thought he was a really Mad interesting Jack. Character.
Yeah, Jack, right,
Jack, that's his name.
You know what they should do for the sequel? Like, listen, I know there's not going to be one now because you all failed us out there in listen land. But do the wasteland. Just put some fucking apes in it, dude. People love Planet of the Apes. Now there's an ape. There's like an ape farm or whatever. There's ape farmers that we have to fight.
Well, we never know. They got to go to Ape Town, dude.
We never know what's happening in the rest of the world. Like, what if it's like, oh, we found the shore. Let's get in a boat. Oh, wow, we're in New York. What's that? Apes. There you go. You didn't know you were on the Planet of the Apes the whole time.
Yeah. Boy, we had it so much better just back in the Australian wasteland where it wasn't the Planet of the Apes.
And then suddenly, you're top of the box office. People love apes.
Mm-hmm. People do love apes.
Just got a quick shout out here because he kicked in a couple of shekels to say thanks for the live stream. Josiah, you're very welcome, my friend. I would have seen more of them. It's also fine with me if they don't make any more of them. Whatever you do, shit or get off the pot in the next like 9 years. How about that?
Well, I mean, they'll make more once Miller is dead and it'll just turn into nothing.
But
for now, but I mean, that's just that, like, to make movies of this scale that are this good, it takes time. Like, that fucking Fury Road took forever to get to that stage. And
but
like,
he wasn't working, you know, the movie wasn't in production for 9 years, though, Chris.
No, but it was being tested and like they were pitching it. It was on for a little bit. It was off for a little bit. It was constantly being worked on.
During the Iraq War, it was going to be Gibson coming back. And,
And that's supposed to be it.
Fury Road.
Yes, yeah. That's how long.
And he got drafted.
And he got drafted. And
that's my favorite part reaction to this and the failure of this box office terms is that you will go online, go to Twitter, and just search it for a little bit. You will find this army of idiots who's like, what the people really wanted was Mel Gibson, old as fuck, Mad Max. And I'm like, nobody cared. Like, nobody was thinking about this. Like, stop.
Yeah.
You're just reacting to things.
If anything, you could make the argument, Tom Hardy, you know?
Yeah, bring him back. Yeah.
That's what The Wasteland was supposed to be if they were going to do it. Was supposed to be whatever Mad Max's time in The Wasteland was versus Furiosa's time in The Wasteland.
I would have loved to have seen it.
Yeah. You know what I loved that we got to see over the weekend? In a Violent Nature. Let's get into this review. I feel like we all were digging on it for the most part here. This is my favorite horror movie of the year. I really loved what Chris Nash and team are doing here. hell of a fucking feature debut.
I really did like it too a lot. One of the issues with it though is I watched it really late at night, and it's a slow movie, and I love slow movies. I wish I had watched it in the afternoon, because then I could have really dug into it, because I was getting a little sleepy at certain parts. But I do love the nature footage, the the hiking around
beautiful Canada.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
I think just at least on our Letterboxd reviews star rating, I think I liked it the least. And I think just I did amazing kills, beautiful photography. I think even the characters are fun. You know what I mean? The dead meats as they are. I mean, like, they're stock characters. That's how that works. It's weirdly slavish to its premise of we're going to be really close to this guy to the point where I feel like I'm playing a video game for a while. That three quarter back angle that we just have.
I can see that.
And I'm like, all right, let's just, can I make him run? Like, you know what I mean? We're like, if I press X twice, can I make him run? And like, it's that. And then like, it's so slavish to that at certain points, but then at other points it isn't, where it's like, well, then why were we slavish earlier on and not so at the end? You know what I mean? Like that kind of a thing where it has this interesting premise and it explores it as much as it wants to. And I think that I could have liked either more or less of that exploration, if that makes sense.
It's, I think, the opposite of most the problem most of the time. There's not enough story here. Like, there's you get just enough of it. And I think as an idea, it's fantastic. And like a lot of people were going on about, like, it looks like Terrence Malick or it looks like slow cinema.
The Terrence Malick one was me, but thanks for
I was thinking,
I heard it from several people.
You but like, fucking sarcastic prick.
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's a good way of thinking about this, because Nash is not trying to get you inside the world in that way. Like, he cuts a lot when that guy's walking. There's a lot of these quick cuts through time. Malick would never, not on his life, would he ever do that.
You know, it was reminding me a little bit of Dead Man, Jim Jarmusch, and the slowness of that anti-Western.
That's, I mean, I do like that as an idea. And what it does, and what is the interesting idea, is like, there's that scene with when the Beast has the car, the little car in the key. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, that's, scenes like that are, to me, what is really hitting about this movie is like, I genuinely did feel like the monster was the good guy. Like, he seems more natural to the environment than the kids do and the teenagers do. And like, if you play that up and make like the teenagers really maddening and like annoying as hell, then this might work. The satisfaction element might have been there. The story might have been.
Sorry, you didn't find the dead meats in this movie to be maddening and annoying as hell? Holy fuck, dude.
No, I was pulling
my hair out with these people.
I just thought of them as like any normal fucking like Friday the 13th, just a little bit younger, because it's a younger movie. What I wanted was, I kind of wanted to know a little bit about what was going on in that house, and like you get like bits of it here and there. But like, I would have liked to have
that's
seen
the, that's the movie. But that's the thing.
That's
the movie. You can't go in the house.
Yeah.
But then at the end, you sort of do go in the house, and it's like, what do we do? You know what I mean?
I don't think of it as a rule break. Like, it's just I don't get it.
You go in the house at the end because in these movies, that's where those two storylines always converge. So there's no way. Of course, that's going to happen. That's inevitable. But what you're doing is spending some time on the other side of the ball for the 90% of the movie. When it converges like that, I think, because it has to. That's how you conclude the movie. I will say, this is the first time in a long time I feel like we're all watching a horror movie where you can just say to somebody, there's a moment in this movie and you'll know it when you see it, and everybody's talking about the same thing.
There is
a kill in this movie. Holy God.
Yes.
I was blown away by this. Just stupendous.
Wild.
I mean, the movie does a really good job of mixing, practical effects and CGI, I thought.
The kills are great. The kills are absolutely
so
great.
So good. So good. And not to spoil anything, but I think the ending is really, really great. It's a really smart couple of final moments. Like, this movie was fucking with me. And I think another thing, see this in theaters, or, like we said, limited release, more theaters than the Daisy Ridley movie. see it, you know, in a theater with the, if you can. But if you have to watch it when it comes to Shudder later this year, either make sure you have a really good sound system and you're fine with cranking it, or wear it with headphones. The sound design in this movie is so crucial, I feel, to the overall success of the viewing experience.
IFC also had slash Shudder had Late Night with the Devil, right?
Yes.
Great year for them.
I think
the great year for them.
It is. Hell yeah, dude. As far as like just interesting turns, like, boy, it felt, you know, even though, yeah, it's like it's a Jason inspired movie or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
It felt different. And boy, just, you know, I know it's a fucking low bar, but watching something that feels just slightly different like this and Late Night with the Devil, I welcome it.
Yeah, I can't wait to rewatch this as well. I think it will really grow on me over time.
Yeah, I do. Actually, I want to give it a second spin as well. It was a little bit late for me, even though the kills did wake me the fuck up, because you're like, holy shit. Yeah.
Will they ever? I was realizing at some point, my mouth kept going dry. I kept needing to like grab a glass of water, because I was watching this shit like just jaw just draped open for minutes on end watching this oftentimes, you know, gory and brutal violence that's also very fucking funny.
My jaw was dropped too, because I was like, can they show that many trees, really? That's another one. That's another tree.
Look at all the nature. I mean, you know,
I love
whatever.
The nature. That's stuff. And the, I love the title, In a Violent Nature. It's,
yes,
you got exactly. You bought a ticket for nature.
And I mean, like, I will say this movie will, the noise of him walking is exactly the noise of you yourself walking through the woods if you're camping and you have to take a piss. Like, so the next time I go camping, I know for sure I'm going to be like, I'm walking around. I'm the guy from In the Violent Nature. I know it's going to happen.
Maybe it's a shit because it's like, you got to kind of be kind of slow. Like, whoa, let's not.
It's the bug. No false move. Yeah, exactly. Amanda does point out, we know why my mouth is dry. Yeah,
well.
There's also a little bit of that, Amanda. You're not wrong.
You don't say.
But I don't just sit there stoned with my mouth open. So that was due to the movie for sure. But we should start wrapping it up here as we come to the top of the hour. But boy, oh boy, it was a big week last week in the WHM U, as we call it. If you missed We Hate Movies last week, we were talking about Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Real fun movie. Really fucking kick-ass killer conversation. It's always great talking about old movies like that.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of fun with that. Also, The Nexus was out last week on Patreon. We're talking about the one where Riker loses 16 years of his life, or so he thinks. And also the penultimate episode of TOS, where Spock's getting a little horny for a cave lady, among other things.
Other stuff happens, too.
Other stuff going on. But this Tuesday, What Lies Beneath, rocking and rolling, a return to covering Bobby Z movies. This one made for an excellent, I'll toot our own horn, excellent episode.
Ooh.
On a Bobby Z movie that I do not care for. And if you're on Patreon, folks, at the $8 level or higher, you can experience that tomorrow. Ad-free, zero commercials, rocking and rolling right there. And then Friday, it's a big Bobby Z week, another Robert Zemeckis movie. Friday, we're dropping this month's We Love Movies, all about, you guessed it, Back to the Future 3, which we haven't recorded yet, but I guarantee it's going to be a fun conversation. It's going to be one of those, I don't need to look at my notes kind of motion pictures, you know what I mean? But that's going to do it for this week. Before we sign off, one thing, big announcement next week on Screen Live, so make sure you tune in for that.
Ooh,
yes. You are not going to want to miss that news. And then before we just say goodbye, we're gonna leave you with a little teaser for the What Lies Beneath episode. If you follow us on TikTok or Instagram, you may have seen a version of this already. But if not, just a little something to sizzle to get you excited about tomorrow's episode on What Lies Beneath, that you can, as a reminder, get ad-free on Patreon or wherever you get pods. But they'll just be commercials on it. And, you know, shit happens. So that's going to do it. We'll go into the ye olde video here after we say goodbye. But thanks so much for tuning in. It's been really fun to be back on OSL. We'll be back better than ever next week. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a great week, folks. Bye-bye.
All right, let's do this really quick. It won't take us very long. A list of Harrison Ford characters who do or don't eat out.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Norman Spencer does.
Strike out all those Jack Ryans. Get all those Jack Ryans right the fuck out of here.
I wouldn't even say Indeed probably doesn't either.
It's the 30s, dude. He's like, come on, Marion, it's time for your pleasure. He does not.
That's fair. The president in Air Force One also does not.
Han Solo does.
Han Solo eats out, yes. Rick Deckard eats robo pussy.
I only go in for that artificial tail. You see what I'm saying?
If he remembers how to, regarding Henry, does.
Depending. All right, no. In the beginning of the movie, he does. Afterwards, he's like, what's that?
I used to munch box so hard, and then I got shot in the head, and I forgot that I liked doing it.
But you know who does? Richard Kimball.
I did eat out my wife.